Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I feel naked because I don't have no paper, no Bible. I just got a phone. Come on, somebody. This is. I feel naked up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 reads as follows. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Meaning, although you live in your flesh suit, you don't fight other people in a flesh suit. Meaning your problems in life are never with another person. Let that just sink in right now. For everybody mad at a family member, catch this right now. If you're mad at them, they're not even the problem. It's deeper than what you see. Verse 4 goes on and say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Watch what the weapons are for. They're for pulling down strongholds. You have weapons, they're just not fleshly weapons, but the weapons in God are for, watch what it says, pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments. So your weapons are for pulling down, dealing with strongholds and casting down arguments. Catch it. And every high thing that exalts itself, watch this, against the knowledge of God. That's your enemy right there. Strongholds, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let that sink in. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Give me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to tie this together. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Let me just use this to save time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Everybody say every spiritual blessing. Oh boy, I need you to say that one more time. Every spiritual blessing. God, that's good. That's good stuff. Verse 4 goes on to say, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Father, we thank you for these words. We ask that you minister to our spirits, O God. God, I pray you deliver our minds, our thoughts. Let us understand where the battle is won. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to, on this Super Bowl Sunday, I want to use the title and talk on the subject, the gridiron, where the battle is won. Tell your neighbor, the battle is won on the gridiron. As we jump into, and I know some of you guys, again, are super excited because you got your teams and all that stuff going on. As we know, and let's be honest, it is one of the greatest events known is Super Bowl. And people are ecstatic. I'm excited, even though I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm very excited. I always love to enjoy the Super Bowl. And as many of us know, I believe the Super Bowl, if I'm correct, is in Florida. Somewhere they're enjoying themselves out there. Amen. It's a good thing the Cowboys did not go because I would not be standing here. Amen. I told my kids, as soon as they go, we are going. Amen. That is just going to happen. Amen. Y'all just going to have to miss me on that Sunday because we will be there. Amen. And but they're enjoying themselves in the Super Bowl. But the reality is, as we watch that game today in the stadium and you watch them play and the game goes forth, how many know that the game is really not won on the field? The greatest place where that game is going to be won is in the helmets. That you're going to watch players on the field, but the battle is really in the helmets. Things that take place, and usually those that are going to win are those that are going to be mentally able to push today. They're ones who are going to struggle mentally because they're on a place and a level they've never been there. There's just the whole thing is they're going to have a battle in their mind more than the battle than the person across from them. People say this all the time. You know, those that play sports, I believe it's like 90 or 80% of athletics is not physical, it's mental. It's not about how talented you are. It's about how mentally strong you are, how mental you can handle certain moments, pressure, and things like that. And for many of us, the same way that is on this stadium that they play in, everybody's looking at the stadium, but really the biggest stadium is that helmet, that thing called the dome that they have on their shoulder. And just like us, life is big, but the battle and the victory for our life is won right here. That's where all the battles of life and all the victories of life are won. It's won in your head. Somebody say, it's won in my head. And one of the things that we've got to understand is many of us, we have to begin to understand is that the battle, where it's at. Because too many times we don't even understand where battles and issues go on in our life are at. It's never outside. It's always right here. Matter of fact, this whole year about 2020 groundbreaking, this 21-day fast that we just came off of, that God is releasing some amazing things. He's broken some amazing things. There's been yokes broken. There are people who've shared with me they had certain desires and no longer have those desires. And I know you don't want to shout about it, but if you've ever been bound by something where you couldn't get out of a desire, come on, somebody. That's freedom right there. When they said, hey, I've been able to go 5 days without doing this or doing that. I can't put people's business out there, but or involving myself in this. Come on. And where there's always been a struggle and it pulls you and all of a sudden you go through this fast and you wake up and have this new freedom in God where you walk around and that thing can't pull you and that thing can't drag you. Man, that's a shout right there. But you know, some people can't share all their business out there, but there are some people set free up in this sanctuary right now. There are some people who the devil used to have a leash on them. Every time they got ready to get away from it, it pulls them back, and they had to keep going back to certain addictions and pornography and alcohol and drugs. But now when they fasted, that chain was broke. They're able to go where they want to go, live where they want to live. Sometimes that's the greatest freedom. Money ain't, listen, some people needed money. God bless you, and it's coming. But baby, I don't want money if I'm bound to stuff. Come on, I need money where I got freedom to live my life and be a blessing to people. What good is money if I'm chained to something? What good is money if I'm bound to something? What good is finances if I can't get away from what I don't want to be around? And so some of the best freedom is not just financial freedom. It's emotional freedom. It's spiritual freedom. It's mental freedom, where I go to bed when I want to go to bed and dream with peace and sleep with peace and wake up with peace. Come on, somebody. And there's just been so much freedom and understanding that through this fast, God has done so much. And the thing is, and when we begin to see this fast and all the great things God has done and all the things he's going to do this year and all the amazing places he's going to take us this year, we've got to understand who the enemy is. And not just understand who he is, but understand how he moves in our life. Well, one of the greatest problems with Christians is it's not that we underestimate the devil, we just don't understand the devil. And it's not that we need to take a theology class on the devil, because I'm not on that side of the fence either, because I think too many preachers spend so much time talking about the devil, we empower the devil. I've been to church, I'm like, man, can we talk about Jesus today? You ever go to church and it's like an 8-week series on the devil? I want to talk about the winner. Come on, somebody. I ain't got time to keep talking about this loser. He don't even have power. We keep talking about him. We need to be aware of him, but we need to understand. Let me help you right now. Here's why I say that. People are like, well, you need to tell him about the devil. Listen, yeah, tell him about the devil, but I need to tell him what they need to know, and let's keep it moving, because he is defeated. If he's defeated, how much more do we need to keep talking about somebody who is a defeated loser and who can't do anything? All I need to explain to you is he's defeated. He's going to come around. He's got tricks we're going to talk about. But after that, let's keep it moving, because you can't give losers your attention. Come on. You got to know. We talk about the devil as if he's God's enemy. See how quiet it just got? See, he can't be your enemy if he's not on your level. God doesn't really have an enemy. Who's on his level? He may oppose God, but he's not his enemy. He's not his rival. Come on, somebody. We make it like the devil is his rival. God never even did. This is how we got to put it in perspective. Come on. We've got to understand, when he had a problem with Lucifer in heaven, God never even got off the throne. He sent one of the angels. He said, man, I'm having grapes over here. I'm doing some. Can somebody go kick him out of heaven? I ain't even got time. He said, bring me a report back. Come on, somebody. He sent somebody else to deal with the devil, and we act like the devil has so much power and so much authority that he's wrestling with God. He ain't even on God's level. Come on, somebody. We need to put him back in his place. You need to remind yourself the devil is a defeated foe, and he doesn't even match my God. And matter of fact, let me help you out if you're struggling. He doesn't even match you. The Bible says we have all power. When we open up our mouth, he ain't even on our level. He's under our foot, and we need to quit giving him access to areas in your life he does not even have access. So many of us, come on somebody, so many of us spend so much time thinking about the devil and not even thinking about or understanding who you are. We need to keep it in his proper concept, because we understand he is our foe, but at the same time, he's not on our level. And too many of us are sitting here quiet because we're scared of the devil. And you need to wake up and begin to talk to the devil and every demon in your house and realize I've been given all authority. And if Jesus rose up, he gave me power. And I'm going to use my power. You need to quit being scared of using your power. And you better tell the devil to get the hell out of your house, get the hell out of your bank account, get the hell out of your body. When I begin to open my mouth and plead the blood of Jesus, ain't nothing coming nigh my mind, coming nigh my body, because I know who I am. Somebody shout, he's a defeated foe. And the church gives him so much, you know, all this attention. We need to be aware of the devil, but we don't need to have theology on the devil. We need to have an understanding and concept, be aware of the schemes of the devil, but don't put him on a mantle like he's all that. It would be foolish to ignore him, but at the same time, some of us spend so much time talking about the devil every day. I need to talk about the benefits of God sometimes. I need to talk about how I'm blessed in the city. Come on, blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I go. I need to understand and talk about when I walk around, angels are with me. And when I go here, listen, all I know, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But as for me and my house, everything's going to be all right. And we've got to begin to understand certain things of the enemy. But we also got to understand the perspective of the enemy. We give sometimes, man, I've been to churches, and so many times they spend like the whole year talking about him. And see, that right there, it's a balance. Everybody say a balance. And the thing about it is, you understand him. Here's what you need to understand. You understand how he works. You need to understand that the area that the enemy plays in and the area that he moves in is he moves in our minds. Okay? We got to understand how he works, because there's only certain areas that enemy can work in your life. You know, because he's defeated, but how many of you know that sometimes you can play down to his level? And this is what I want to talk about. See, even though you're on a higher level, you sometimes can play down to your competition. See, okay, we're in Sports Sunday. Watch this right here. I coach sports, okay? I coach my daughters, their competitive softball team. I am a highly competitive guy. Extremely borderline, probably too much. With kids and everybody. And let me tell you this, we are a good team. And, you know, I'll cut a kid. I don't care. I'll cut a kid. They'd be like, you a pastor? Yeah, your kid cut. If you want to visit the church, but she just can't come back to this field. You understand? My daughter will tell you right there. And because that's just us. But point being is, we're solid. We're a good team. And yesterday, we had this tournament, and we were going through this tournament. I was looking at the bracket like, we got this. But there's something our team always struggles with, is we get on the field with a team that's completely horrible. Horrible. And we got on this field, and, you know, a couple innings go by. I was like, we're going to light this. You know, we got girls going to come. We're going to light this kid up. We didn't score for two innings. They didn't score for two innings. And I saw what was happening. Our mentality had dropped down to who we were playing. We had better players, better talent, better athletes. I mean, we understood the game better, the better coach we had. Come on, somebody. And I'm looking on the field. I'm like, these two teams aren't even on the same level. But for some reason, the mentality of my players dropped down to who they were playing against. And we fooled around and lost the game. Yep. And we lost the game, and I kept telling, I said, man, we're going to lose this game. I said, if you don't change your mindset and play to your level and stop playing to them, because you're looking at them, you're going through slow motion, they can't pitch, I'm doing all this stuff right here. And I'm like, we're better than them. And I said, you need to take care of your business. But they couldn't get themselves up. They kept playing down mentally. They were down to the level of those around them. And see, we do the same thing with the devil, is we play down to his level like he's on our level sometimes, and we get down here dealing with him versus realizing who we are in God. And I'm not coming down into these games and tricks and fear and all that. I know who I am in God, and I'm not stooping down to the devil's level because we're not on the same playing field. And the way he gets victory over you is when you stoop down to his level and allow him to play games in your mind. You got to stay on your level knowing that I am a king's kid. I am a priest. I am royal priesthood. Why am I stooping down to somebody that got ejected and rejected and evicted from heaven? I am a citizen of heaven still. You got evicted and you're homeless, and you going to think I'm going to stoop down to your level? And when you stoop down, he gets victory in your life the same way they got victory over us when they should have never had it. And we got to understand the only place the devil comes in is he works in your mind. He works in your mind because that's really, when you think about it, the only place the devil can play, and I need you to get to this morning, because if you don't catch this and walk in victory all year long, if you don't catch this and you walk in that realm of groundbreaking, it doesn't matter how long we just fasted. It doesn't matter what God has for you this year. It doesn't matter if he broke all those things off your soul during this fast. If your mind does not get right, you will go back to everything that God just brought you out of. You are completely free as of right now, February 2nd, 2020. But if your mind goes down and plays in the dirt with the devil, he will pull you down the rest of this year, and you'll miss everything God has for your life. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much scripture you read. I don't care how much scripture you know. If you allow the devil to play in the only area he can play, which is your mind, you will never have victory this year. In a groundbreaking year, you will not achieve what you should achieve. I saw it firsthand on the field. I told everybody, we're going to be playing until 6:30. We winning this thing. That's just me. I'm confident like that. Come on, somebody. And I said, we're going to win this thing 6:30. Make dinner plans for later on, because after that, come on, somebody, we're going to be playing. And we went home early. And there's no way it should have. We missed something that belonged to us, and I'm not allowing the devil to do that to me in the spirit realm, where I miss something God has for me because I stoop down to the areas where the devil plays versus staying where God has for me and walking with confidence and victory all year long. I could preach. The greatest challenge I have as a pastor is preaching to people, and they get happy in their spirit, but their mind never changes. Because I can preach. Man, listen. I'm not saying I'm a good preacher. I'm not saying I'm the greatest preacher. I'm not saying I'm an okay preacher. But whenever I preach to you, and whatever comes into your heart and your spirit, if your mind gets away from you, it doesn't matter if it's Bishop Jakes. I don't care if it's John the Baptist or Jesus himself. If your mind does not shift, it doesn't matter. You'll never receive what God delivered to you. And my greatest struggle with humans is when we preach, we don't allow our mind to be renewed to the things of God. And it's amazing, because that's the only place the devil can even play in our lives and come in, is in the area of our life. And it goes all the way back to the garden in the very beginning. If you remember the story, God came to Adam and he created him. Matter of fact, let me do my illustration I did a little bit ago. Come on up here. Give me you three men. Come on up here, Kevin. Stand right there in the front. Right there. Right. One right behind me. One right here. Stay right here. Right there. Kevin, way over here if you could for me, man of God. Right over here. Now, you remember when God created Adam, let me do this for you again, it just worked well back then. When he created Adam, do you remember he created him in three dimensions? Spirit, soul, and body. The same way you're created. You're created spirit, soul, and body. Or let's do it this way. Spirit, body, soul. We'll change it up. And there's three parts to all of us. And when he created Adam, his spirit man was alive. His spirit man housed all the blessings. The Bible says in Ephesians, all spiritual blessings were in Adam at that time. Everything Adam needed for his future was in him. His spirit was alive, and Adam had a spirit, he had a body, and he had a soul, the same way all of us. And the Bible says God used to walk through the garden fellowshipping with Adam, and he would commune with Adam. And then one day Adam messed up. I don't know if you ever read your Bible, but there was an accident in Genesis. And they ate of something God told them to. And when they ate of it, God came walking around sometime later after that. And watch what he said. Adam, where are you? And people always are confused. God, why did you say, Adam, where art thou? Because you're God. How did you lose him? What is that about? Because that was when God came back. He was walking around and said, wait a minute. This was the first time God hit the earth and said, I have no longer a connection in earth. Because he told him, he said, listen, when you eat of the fruit, he says, hey, when he created Adam, he said, you're good. Your spirit is alive. Your spirit is controlling your soul and your body. He says, as long as you don't eat from this tree of knowledge and all that stuff, everything's going to be all right. He says, but if you eat of this thing, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. And people say, well, he didn't die. And they're correct because his soul was still working. His mind was still connecting. It was still thinking. His body was still living. But that spirit man died. All the spiritual blessings in God, his spirit man disconnected from God. That's why God came back and he said, wait a minute, I don't have a connection on earth. He says, something has happened. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Because he no longer had a spiritual connection on earth. And what happened is his spirit man disconnected from God, so his spirit man no longer was alive to God. So God couldn't see him. That's why he said, where are you, Adam? Because he was dead to God. God's spirit was not connected to him. This was we thought, well, he's still alive. Yeah, his mind was working. His body was still moving. But God couldn't find his spirit no more. Because death is when you're not connected to God. And he lost that connection. He said, Adam, where are you? And see, that's what happens with eternity. When you disconnect from God, that's what death is. When it's all eternity away from God. Oh, God, that's good stuff. So what happened is God said, okay, listen, this is how Adam went on living. Man went on living with a mind and a soul. And matter of fact, if you know, he ate from the tree of knowledge. The Bible says, matter of fact, his mind began to grow without a spirit from God. God, help me. Oh, this is going to get good. I'm getting there. He said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to have to send a Savior. He sent Jesus. We know the story. Let me fast forward. He sends Jesus. His Savior comes. But remember, they all had a body. They all had soul. He sends Jesus back to bring the spirit back in relationship with God. He said, this thing fell off with the first man. Now, let me give you another man. Another man by the name of Jesus. And when Jesus comes, he says, whoever calls on me, whoever believes in me, whoever accepts me, I bring your spirit man. I regenerate him. He says, you are what? Reborn. You are born again. Meaning your spirit man wakes back up again. And then all of a sudden, all the blessings and all the connections you had with God are back in you. See, that's why that makes me want to shout, because when you get saved again, now you have all the spiritual blessings that were from the beginning supposed to be in your life back in your life. And here, watch this right here. Stay with me, because now Jesus says, we got saved. Anybody saved in here today? Just wave at me so I know if I'm talking to you. That means if you got saved, your spirit man is connected to God again. And you'll never have to get to heaven and you pass from here and you leave this life. You'll never hear, where art thou? No, you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I know where you are. Your spirit is alive to me again. But woe unto those who go to heaven without knowing him. Where art thou? Away from me. God help me. So Jesus brings us back into that right standing. He fixes the wrong from the garden. So if you give your life to Christ, your spirit man is alive, and it's hearing from God. It's got all the blessings housed from God. But the problem has been, the Bible says, watch this right here, your destiny is in your spirit man. But before your spirit man got back to God, your mind and body have always been working. And here is the problem. The Bible uses a scripture that says, as a man thinketh. We got a few Bible readers. So is he. I have a problem with this whole thing, because now my spirit man is alive. Why didn't you say, as your spirit goes, so goes the man? He's housing all my future. He's got all my miracles in him. My destiny is here. I'm alive again. I'm ready to go, God. And so what God is saying, he never said, as your spirit goes, so goes the man. He says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Problem on the, throw a flag on the play. 15-yard penalty. There's a problem here. Because my mind has been disconnected from God. He ate from the knowledge. My knowledge has been growing, but my spirit hasn't been putting up, governing my mind. My mind is going crazy this whole time, thinking what it wants to think. My spirit has never been able to govern the thoughts that are living in me. So now my spirit man is alive, but the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So now this man has said, whatever God wants to do, my future, groundbreaking. But this mind is saying, I ain't got time for groundbreaking. As a man thinketh, so is he. So although you're saved, your destiny is over here. God, help me. Stay with me. This might be too deep for Super Bowl Sunday. Although your spirit is alive, your future, your anointing. Matter of fact, when you got saved, every one of you got anointing that's specific to your life. When you got saved, God says, everything is in you. Come on, somebody. Listen, let me make sure I get this. I'm getting excited right now. Whenever God moves, watch this. Everything you are going to be the rest of your life is already in you. Look at your neighbor and say, everything. Everything. Look at the other one and say, everything. Now look at the one that's ghetto and say, everything. I don't know who they chose, but amen. Listen to me. Everything God has for your life is in you right now. If you're 20, you're 75, everything in your life is in you. Every anointing, every calling, every blessing, every destiny, it's in you right now. This is just how God works. If you look at from Genesis, from the beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, watch what he said. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Well, how do we do that, God? Well, everything you need to multiply is in you. You don't need to go outside of you to get to the future. When God creates a fruit, an orange, an apple, you cut that fruit, you take the seed, and the future is in the thing. The future is in the thing. So when you get saved and you get the Holy Spirit, God puts everything in you, and now everything is in you for your future. Everything from the day God raptures you up with your last breath is already in you. Every anointing, every calling, every gifting, it's in you right now. You never have to go outside yourself to go forward. Come on, somebody. That's why we always talk about living inside out. We're trying to go to Ouija boards and people and friends to find out what's tomorrow. Start talking to the Holy Spirit in you to find out where you're supposed to go. If you're led by the Spirit, you'll get. I don't need your approval if you ain't living in me. I don't need your hand claps to make it tomorrow because God put my future in me. And if I start talking to the Holy Spirit, I can move forward without anybody. That's why I tell people, don't get addicted to people. Make sure you live your life where I don't need somebody to go forward. The moment you need somebody to go forward, the devil's got you living inside out. Come on. He's got you twisted. I don't need anything. God put everything in me to make it. That's why if I lose somebody, I can keep it moving. Come on, somebody. That's why if somebody walks away from me, I can keep it moving. If some tragedy happens, I can pick myself up and I can keep going. Just like Kobe Bryant, all his daughters, they still got God's giftings and callings in them. Daddy may be in heaven, but they can pick up the pieces and they can keep going because you are supposed to live inside out. And if anybody else had a tragedy, you can pick up the pieces while you're mourning and you can keep it moving. We feel like if we lose something, we can't move forward, but God built us to be able to survive without things. God help me. You can survive in any climate because everything's in you is there for you to move. So when we see this here, the Bible says when we accepted Jesus Christ, all the blessings, Ephesians, all the spiritual blessings are in us. Everything's in us. Amen. Your spirit's ready to go. But the Bible, the problem is, as a man thinketh, so is he. That means your spirit does not determine your future. Your mind determines your destiny. That's scripture. And this is the problem. Is when these two are not on the same page. See, God says, I will save this dimension of you, but you got to save that dimension of you. He says, I got this. You got to take care of that. I can't deal with that. That's your responsibility. And he says, because you're in an earth suit, the way I've set this up is your mind determines your destiny. So our challenge is understanding the only place the devil can touch us is in our mind. God says, I got this. He can't even touch your spirit. He can't get in your spirit. When I sealed you, the Bible says, when you accepted Jesus Christ, God says the devil cannot fool around with your spirit. Come here. Stay with me. This is why Christians cannot be demon-possessed. It's going to get quiet up in here. How can they demon-possess you if the spirit belongs to God? That's why a Christian, how can you possess my spirit? That's what it means. Possession, possess your spirit. How can I be demon possessed if this is a spirit of God? How are you going to possess God's spirit? But what happens is he will create a bondage in your mind. But he can possess your mind. He just can't possess your spirit. God help me right here. He can take your thoughts and hold you captive in your thoughts. He cannot fool around in your spirit. Once you're saved, baby. Once you take the blood of Jesus, you take the blood of Jesus. But you can be possessed in your mind. And so what happens is, whenever you deal with a devil and a saved person, you're really casting them out of the soul and mind of a person. Because what happens is, once you're saved, God says, listen, the devil can't touch this. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. How are you going to come in and take over the Holy Spirit? He says, I got this. He says, but here's what you got to deal with. You got to deal with that thinking man over there. And the devil knows the only place I can come in a believer's life is right here. This is it. If I control your mind, I control your life. He knows this. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Meaning, as you think, it is your reality. I don't care what my plans are, that's your reality. I don't care what I've destined for you, that's your reality. I don't care what I did for Groundbreaking 2020, that's your reality. That's why, you know, whenever you see someone, the devil realizes, I know I can't mess with them here. Even if I afflict this, I realize I afflict this to really torment this. Because if I hit them with this, they start thinking, their mind begins to think the worst thing's going to happen. And if I get them to think the worst thing's going to happen, they're going to direct their future. And so we've got to understand where the battle is won is in the gridiron of the mind. It's on the gridiron of the mind. And this is the only place the devil can come into your life. And this is where everything in life is won. And that's why I don't care what I preach to you or anybody preaches to you in this groundbreaking year. Matter of fact, I don't even care what God has for you this year. If you do not get your mind right off all the things we talked about in January, you are not going to achieve what God has for your life. You got to make up your mind and realize I've got to get my thinking right this year. I've got to get these thoughts under control this year. Because the only place the devil's going to come is right there. That is the only thing the devil can do. That's why the Bible says, the devil roams around like a roaring lion. A roaring lion. Hear it right now. A roaring lion does not affect this spirit. A roaring lion does not affect this body. It affects your mind. Let a lion roar on the stage right now. The only reason your body would run is because your mind got some fear up in it. It'd be like, I'm up out of here, saved or not. That ain't your body, that's your mind. Anytime, man, listen, it's because your mind is, Bushwick Bill always said it, come on, the preacher Bushwick Bill, he had this great sermon, my mind is playing tricks on me. The only thing you follow is your mind. And that's why we've got to learn to get the mind to line up with the spirit. Okay, give them a hand as they go back. I got to push. I got to push. Bless you guys. Somebody say, everything I need is in me. That's why the Bible says, watch this right here. That's why the Bible talks about your mind governs everything. Philippians 4:8, you guys know this. Philippians 4:8, throw that up there for us. It talks about, watch what it says, finally, brethren. Watch what it says, finally, brethren. Paul said, let me bring conclusion to some stuff. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there are any praiseworthy, meditate. Think on these things. See, this is the life of a believer. He says, you have got to get your mind to meditate on these things. Our whole job and the problem, we're going to get to where we're going. Our whole problem as believers is we don't allow this right here to happen. This is the area where the enemy can take everything from us this year. And that's why now I'm stepping into February on this Super Bowl Sunday. I knew I was coming in to talk about the mind. Because everything in your spirit is ready for this year. Everything groundbreaking, it's done right now. I believe everybody's free from every struggle. But if you do not govern that mind right now, somebody say right now, you're going to find yourself thinking nothing happened for you this year. That it was a waste of time. And the whole time, God says, I give you, Ephesians, we looked at it, every spiritual blessing is wrapped in you right now. Everything you need is in you, but I need you to take care of that mind. That's your responsibility. I take care of that dimension, you take care of that dimension. I save your spirit, you got to go deliver your mind. And he gives you the tools to be able to do it. And that's why you have to, I'm telling somebody, whenever you, how many laid on our bed and we thought of everything fearful? Don't raise your hand. I already know I'm talking to 90% of people in here. Where you got something and your mind got away from everything right here of a good report. Soon as your situation came, you were flooded with everything, but everything in Philippians 4:8. Everything. And the Bible, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. Why do we think about bad reports when we get a bad report? Nobody said think about the bad report. Just pray about it and start thinking on a good report. Start thinking I'm healed. Start thinking I'm delivered. If I got evicted, start thinking God's about to bless me. Why are we not thinking on a good report? And we say, well, if it happens, it happens. I'm ready. The devil is like, I ain't ready. I'm going to live and not die. I speak length of years to be added to my life. I start planning even better now because I got to think on a good report. Because the devil realizes this is the only place, because if as your mind starts thinking, that's where you start living. Watch this right here. Let's push a little bit. That's why the Bible says Romans 12:2. Watch this. I'll listen right here. Give me Romans 12. Give me verse 1. Give me verse 1. Let's back it up. Verse 1, and I'll work my way to verse 2. Romans 12. One, and then let's go there. Because I love this right here. It talks about, therefore I urge you, brothers, sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true proper worship. See, we like verse 2. Hang on, stay there. Do you notice what it just said? Watch the power of this. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Now stay with me. Let me teach you something real quick. I thought I was going to be short on Super Bowl Sunday. Come on, somebody. It says a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there were no living sacrifices. Everything put on the altar was killed. But now God says, I want a living sacrifice. Watch the Bible. That means, watch what he says. He says, offer your bodies as a sacrifice. See, that messes up. We read that. We're like, what do you want me to lay my body? But you want to kill me? Let me read past that. You know how we read past stuff, right? That means God says, I need you to sacrifice your body for my work. I need a living sacrifice. I want somebody to say, my body does not want to go give them money, but I'm going to do it anyway. My body does not want to go pray for somebody, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's a living sacrifice. God help me. I'm living, but I'm going to sacrifice my body to go do stuff it don't want to do for the work of God. I'm teaching better than you looking right now. That's why when it says do not forsake the gathering of yourselves such as some do, especially in the last days, God says that means I want your body to go to church. He says I want your body not to go to church, but I want your body to serve in the house of God. Watch how quiet it gets. That's a living sacrifice. I need you to sacrifice for me your body. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. But how many know it's hard to have a living sacrifice on an altar? See, that's why they used to kill them, because a dead sacrifice can't get off the altar. A living sacrifice be like, no, I'm good, and get up off the altar. And that's what a lot of us do, is we're giving God our body to do stuff, and then we said, I'm getting up off the altar. I ain't got time for this no more. Come on, somebody. And God says, I need a living sacrifice. But the problem with a sacrifice is your body will get off the altar when your mind does not want to do what God wants it to do anymore. God, help me. So it talks about this living sacrifice, and then it rolls into verse 2 to give you clarity. He says, because your body won't do what I want it to do until you get verse 2 right. Verse 2. Watch what it goes on in verse 2 to say. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Because if I get your mind right, I got your body as a living sacrifice. Because your body will follow your mind. God, I'm teaching. Watch what he says. He says, do not be conformed. Do not be shaped to the patterns of this world. God, this I got to teach. Watch what he says here. Watch what he says here. He begins to tell you, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Okay, I don't know if you know who the God of this world is. If you ever read the Bible, it's the devil. He's the God of this world. Many times we think he's the God of the earth. That's not what this means. Patterns, do not according to the patterns. Patterns mean the systems in the world, the mindsets of this world. It's not talking about the earth. The earth's the Lord and the fullness thereof. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That means the systems of the world, the way the world thinks. It says, do not conform your mind to the way the world thinks. See, and what we've got to understand is that God is saying, I need you to break the patterns, and I can't have you thinking like the world thinks. And that's the problem with the church, is that we have allowed the world's thinking to slip up in the church. And just because the world has okayed some things, God said, I've never okayed that type of thinking right there. I've never okayed that right there. You've conformed to the patterns of this world, talking about, well, it's just a new generation. God is a God who has not changed. And what wasn't good back then still ain't good right now. And we cannot conform our thinking. I feel like preaching right now. We cannot conform our thinking for the comfortableness of living in this world. Let me tell you one way you can know if your thinking is lined up with God. Read his word, and if something don't feel right, it's you. He says, I can't have you in the world's systems. I can't have you in the world's patterns. However the world thinks, do not conform yourself to the patterns of this world. He says, but be changed from the world. Not when you get your spirit saved, but when you renew your mind, then I will get transformation in your life. Because how many of you know, even though you got saved, you still have the same thoughts. Even though you got saved, you went out and slept with her that same night. Even though you got saved, you went out and got high that night. Your spirit was saved. Your spirit didn't want to do it, but your mind says, I'm so used to this. But now the only difference was when you did it, you had somebody telling you it didn't feel right. But you still did it because your mind has always been your mind. Once you get saved, you still think the same. Y'all looking at me like y'all bougie. But when I got saved, I thought my mind was going to be saved. My mind still wanted to look at stuff. It still wanted to touch stuff. It still wanted to feel stuff. It still wanted to bounce the stuff. It wanted to do everything it did before. Nobody told me when I got saved, my mind was going to still be tripping. And he said, listen, now you're saved. I need you to change your thinking. He says, I need you to be transformed from the systems that you've been used to since the fall of man. I need you to break the patterns in your head. He said, the systems are the world systems. See, give me 1 John. I'm going to come back to this. Give me 1 John. I feel like teaching real quick. Give me 1 John. I think I gave that to you guys. 1 John 15, or 2:15, yeah. Because when I think about the world, do not be conformed to this world. What is the world? It says, here it is, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. There it is again. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. And over here he said, do not, he says, be transformed. He says, do not, conform to the patterns of the world. Here it is over here. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. He's talking about the systems and the patterns. How many of you know that, stay with me because we're in our generation. If you have a child, and our younger generation are so under attack with same-sex living, are under attack about God and different theologies, and how many know it's come in the church everywhere, not just everywhere, that if we get a family member, we struggle when they have a homosexual lesbian issue. And how many of us can begin to okay something in the world because we're dealing with it at home? It's getting heavy on Super Bowl. And it becomes a struggle. God says, it didn't say do not love them. It says do not love the world. Meaning do not love the pattern that's in their mind. He never says stop loving them. And this is where I tell people, do not exile your child. Just exile and don't support what they're doing. But you got to love them and you never stop loving them. You just stop loving the world pattern that is in them and has overtaken them. But I God says, I cannot have believers who find themselves in an emotional struggle between relationship, my child, my brother, my mother, my father, and I will lukewarm give in and say, it's okay, that's God. No, God says, do not conform to the thinking of the world. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Meaning, if you're okay with the patterns of the world in your head, God says you might need to check if you really got saved. Because now you're saved, you can't love what's in your head no more. Say with me, verse 60. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, here's what the world is. Because you want to know, God, if you do not conform to the world, what's the world? Be transformed from the world. What is it? Here it is. For all that is in the world, all this stuff that's in the world, he's talking about, it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He says, listen, don't fall in love. He said, don't let your mind fall in love with your flesh. He says, He says, do not fall to the patterns of this world. Here's what the world is. Do not let your mind follow your flesh. Do not let your mind follow the lust of the eyes. Do not let your mind follow pride that's in you. So you got to renew your mind to be transformed, because in pride, lust, and lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of the heart, that's where the devil's patterns of thinking come in. And to be transformed, God says, I need you to renew your mind and tell your mind, don't follow these things. I'm teaching right now. And we've got to begin to understand that you've got to, you know, set that ground and say, I've got to renew my thinking. Somebody say, I've got to renew my thinking. And so the problem becomes that God is saying, when he says renew your mind, watch what he's really saying. He says, reset your thinking back in place to where it was supposed to be. He says, I reset your spirit, but I cannot reset your soul. Your soul is out of order when you get saved. Meaning your thinking is broken when you got saved. I know you good. I know you think you're all that. But let me tell you something. When you got saved, your mind was still jacked up. You didn't know it was jacked up. But it was out of place. And God says, I got your spirit right. Now you have the ability to get your mind right. And how many of you know if something's out of place, it's hard to put it back in place? Matter of fact, it's not just hard, it's painful. Matter of fact, Lady Bryant, when she broke her arm, some of you guys know that she broke her arm, she was doing her little skating thing. Come on, somebody. And she was doing all that and ice skating, and she fell back. And when they went in, you could see the bone was that way. While the other one was this way, it was splint. But how many know they had to put it in and then tighten it back up? I mean, how many know your thinking is like this? Come on, somebody. And God says, now I saved you. You need to put that mind back in place. And how many know when they touch that bone to put it back in place, that thing hurts right there? And when God says, put your mind back in place, it hurts sometimes. It hurts to change how you've been doing things. It hurts not to do what I've always wanted to do. It hurts to put something back in place that's been out of place. And that's why we'll stay out of place, because we don't want to deal with the uncomfortableness of renewing our mind. I'm preaching better than you looking right now. It hurts to reset things and put it back in place. Especially if it's contrary to the world that you live in. Because when you go in places, it's a problem, is us against the world. And when you go into corporate America, and when you go into these places, and you got to watch what you say all the time, and they're telling you and feeding your mind this stuff, you cannot allow your mind to be conformed to that. It's painful to be the only one say, I don't agree with that. It's painful to sit in a business room and say, that's not how I roll. It's painful when it's painful to put your mind back in place. God help me, in a world that has the patterns, the world that says this is okay, the world that says that's okay, but God said, you got to get your mind right. Do not be transformed. It's going to be painful when people don't like you. It's going to be painful when people talk about you, but I need you to reset your thinking so you can walk in the blessings I have for your life. I always say this, and I don't mean it disrespectful. Christians can't be punks anymore. Christians can't be sissies anymore. You got to stand up and take some pain. You got to stand up in the face of adversity and say, I don't live like that. I'm not casting stones, but I don't get down with that. You may think that's okay, but that mess ain't okay up in here. I ain't judging you, but I ain't down with that. And I'm not changing my stand for you. Why should I change my stand for your stand? My mind counts like your mind counts, and my mind is renewed. And that's painful to be the only one taking a stand for something don't nobody else agree with. We have too many people who buckle under the pressure of being transformed because it's painful. Going to corporate America, well, I'm going okay that, yeah. No, you're a sissy. feel like I'm talking to somebody online right now. Quit punking out and be a child of God. Woman up and man up. It's painful to reset your mind and take a stand for God. We get all these preachers up in the White House okaying stuff that shouldn't be okay. I'm going to tell it like I feel it. Get your mind right. Begin to be a prophet for God. You're a prophet, a child of God. Do not be conformed because somebody will promote you. I don't need your promotion for me to act like you, think like you. God is the one that promotes one and brings down another. I'm not transforming my mind. I'm living the way God called me to live. I wish I had somebody that could shout hallelujah. Touch a neighbor, say, don't punk out. See this with Peter. Peter was like, I don't know him. Peter was a gangster when he was with Jesus. Straight gangster when he was walking with Jesus. I feel like a Peter, I really do. Grabbed a sword, it was like, just hit a guy. See, we all feel like gangsters when we're with the 12 disciples. When we're at church, we tough. But the moment Peter got away from the disciples and he was in the world at work, they said, do you know Jesus? He said, I don't know him. I don't know him. Wait a minute, I thought you was a gangster. Because when you're not with the church family, it's hard to be at work by yourself. Getting that sense, people, what Jesus? What y'all talking? Yeah, that's okay. Because you're scared. And see, we cannot. God said, I got to go. I got to get to where I'm supposed to be. I got to get y'all out for kickoff. Watch this right here. Touch your neighbor. Say, I hope you're all right. Here we go. I'm almost done. I got to get there. Don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. Y'all stop playing. Watch this. Here it is right here. Let me give you this. So the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Let me clarify. That didn't just mean, you know, every thought that runs through your head. Because we get so many thoughts, and we know we're not that. It's the one that you really meditate and focus on. That determines, because I clarify. Because we got so many thoughts to go, I don't know about your head, but my head, I got a lot of stuff. Just be flying through. And it's not that I'm that. It's the one you really give attention to in your life. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now watch this, go back with me, and let me give you, I'm just going to hit them real quick on a drive-by. Three things, and give me those ones that are highlighted again over in 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 2. I want to give you the first thing you need to understand about your mind and how the devil works. The first one is stronghold. The Bible says stronghold. Everybody say stronghold. Over here it is right here. We read this earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says, but here's what our weapons of God are for. It didn't even say binding the devil to such a degree. He says the weapons that you have from heaven are for pulling down strongholds. Now let's clarify, because we confuse sometimes strongholds. And he's literally telling you, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I like this. See what happens is, strongholds is really when you take a lie and you accept it as a truth. A stronghold means there's a pattern in your head that a lie is now a truth to you. And it's not that it's a deep-rooted one. It's so deep, it's a lie, but you're living it as a truth. And what he's beginning to tell you, understand how the devil works and all these things about the patterns of this world, understanding our job is to renew that mind. And so what happens is, we have patterns of thinking that we believe are truths that are reality, that actually are lies. And so when you get saved, you've been living with this mind since the fall of man. And the mind, because he ate from that tree of knowledge, he's always gained knowledge. But that knowledge has not always been true. And now I'm saved, you have strongholds in your thinking. And you have been living what you thought were truths, but in reality, now you got saved, you're finding out they're lies. And God says, I've given you weapons in the spirit realm to break the patterns of your thinking. And what happens is, we have these deep-rooted patterns in our life that have come from different things in our lives. And God says, listen, I have, once you get saved, I have given you the ability through the Word of God to understand that every stronghold in your life can be broken. Okay, all right, let me help you on some of these. Because if you've ever, watch this, stay with me, I'm going to take you down. So if you've ever been abused as a person, there are certain strongholds that will come in your life where the devil begins to speak to you and tell you that every abuse that has happened in your life is because of you. And it opens a door to make you think that you're no good. It opens a door to a lie, becomes a truth to you that I am no good, and it's because some door was opened somewhere in your life. Mama walked away from you, and you always feel nobody loves me wherever I go. And it becomes a deep root. It's not on the surface, but it's a deep-rooted truth that's really a lie. God, help me. And God says, when you find my word, it begins to uproot those strongholds. Because they don't manifest just normal. They manifest in relationships. They manifest in ways you don't even understand. It goes back to that root that is inside of you from something else that happened in your life. And you can never stay at a job. You can never stay at a relationship because not because of the job, not because of people, but because you were abused as a child and you always think people are out to get you. So wherever you go on a job, you feel freer to walk away because every time you walk in, there's a stronghold that says, I'm not welcome here. Nobody loves me here. I had an argument. They don't really care about me. But God says, I came to tell you that is not a truth. That is a lie that's been rooted in you. And it's a stronghold from when you were molested, when you were abused, and when somebody did something to you. He says, but when you read the word that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, when you read the word that says God loved you before you ever loved him, he's coming to change your thinking. He's coming to change your mind. So next time you walk into a place and you have an argument, you don't deal with those insecurities and inferiorities. God help me. And when we talk about these strongholds, they're not always demonic. They're patterns of thinking that are lies, but living as truths. God help me. See, we have Club 55, this generation. Stay with me. I'm going to get quiet over here. Club 55 grew up in a generation of slavery, Martin Luther, all the different water fountains, bathrooms. And they have this mindset, certain generations, that every time something happens now, the white man's out to get us. It's going to get quiet in this black church. And what I've discovered is those can be strongholds from the hurts of those days. And every situation, maybe, but not every situation is that same thing. But because you have a stronghold, now you go into a place you can't function with people who are going to be in heaven with you. You take them on the surface. The same way it is on that side, it is on this side too. And so we have to realize that God said, yes, there was injustices. Yes, there were those things. But we begin to realize that inside of us there are strongholds that will keep you from actually reaching your potential. Because how many know God didn't call us to network with just black folk? Come on, somebody. God called us to network with everything that's going to be in heaven. And the last time I read my Bible, is white folk in heaven? Is Jewish people in heaven? Is some Negroes in heaven? Come on, is some Caucasians? Some Chinas? Is Hispanic? Come on. Is the barrio, the ghetto? Everything else is in heaven right now. And if I'm going to be in heaven with you, I'm going to get over earth with you, and we're going to be able to function together. And the same way white folk can be racist, it's the same way black folk can be racist. And we need to stop making excuses and realize if God can give her a promotion, God can give anybody a promotion. You don't need a man. It don't depend on their color. And ain't everybody against us all the time. I ain't scared of none of y'all. See, when you're under the anointing, you tell people what they need to hear. Racism is real. I know it is. I face it all the time. I got a white wife. Come on, somebody. I see it all the time. But I realize, but it ain't always that. And there's times that we take a stance against people and we draw a judgment, but really it's not a judgment. You have a stronghold. And the Bible says God can set you free when you realize he created all men from one blood. And what happens is, that's why the Bible says we got to renew our minds. We have to be changed. And the enemy will work in your stronghold of thinking. And God is trying to tell you, I want to bless you this year. And there are certain things that can hinder your blessing if your mind has still got strongholds from things. Because some blessing is going to come in different ways. And if you got a stronghold against that thing, God says that might be the way I'm coming in your life. I got to go. I'm way behind. I don't know how I got this happy. Okay, I got to really go through. Put the scripture back up. The second thing is, watch this right here. So we've got to understand, we must break the pattern of strongholds. God, you got to break that. God would allow you to break that pattern. Number two, watch this. It says arguments in verse 5. It says, watch what it says. Pulling down, he's talking about, verse 5, please. It says, our carnal mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, you didn't highlight it, that's fine. Casting down arguments. Watch what it says. Here it is right here. Watch what it says. He says, the weapons of God are for strongholds and patterns that are set in our head from things that have happened in our life. But watch what he says, and casting down arguments. What? Wait a minute, God, we got all this spiritual warfare for what argument? He says, the powers of God are to cast down arguments. See, we thought we were spiritually deep fighting the devil and all that. And God says, here's your battle. Strongholds, which are patterns that are lies that are living in truths in you, because anything that is a truth is your reality. As a man thinketh, so is he. So that's why those strongholds are dangerous. And then he says, casting down arguments. And I had to really dig deep. He began to show, you find out the scripture means that the enemy uses your memory to argue with God. I don't even see the devil in our battle yet. He plays in this area because I can have an argument with God that don't have nothing to do with the devil. So when I say to people and stand up and man of God says, hey, listen, God wants you blessed. When you stand up and say, listen, every person in tithe, God's going to do-do-do-do. First thing that happens, your memory comes back. And said, I tried this about 10 years ago at another church. That didn't work. Watch what happens. You're clapping, but in your head you're arguing. God help me. You're clapping, watch this, but in your head you're arguing. And what happens is, it says, God understands that your memory will argue with him. Your memory will, as soon as somebody says, this is the year, we're going to do this, and somebody say, I've been in church, that ain't worked for me. Everybody's shouting, you part of it too, because you know how to do the church stuff. But in your head, you're sitting there literally arguing, that ain't going to happen. Declare a word, you're going to be healed by Sunday when we get back to church. How am I healed in 48 hours? I'm just going to sit here and clap. You arguing with your miracle. And the Bible says, watch this, as a man thinketh, so is he. The word is released, but your memory is pulling back file cabinets. Talking about, I remember somebody said that didn't happen, this didn't happen. You sitting up in church smiling, you know how to cliche. You might be bouncing, but your head like, that ain't going to work for your house. It didn't work over here. You got this going on. And God is trying to release breakthrough to you, and you got arguments in your head from your file cabinet called memory. And every blessing God tries to get to you, it becomes an argument with heaven. And God says, I've given you that so that you see, the greatest thing of a child of God is our memory. It is the greatest benefit. It's also our greatest enemy. Because your memory can pull back on stuff. And your memory begins to say, I tried this. I did a fast. I tried this. This didn't work. I remember when that didn't happen. And what happens is, as you begin to think that, you actually are pulling yourself off the table of blessing from God. And the devil is not even in the picture yet. These are just things that work in your soul and in your mind, where your mind, it begins, if it's not a pattern of something that happened, you have a memory set. I tried this. I've been there. I've done that. I ain't doing that. We sold last year. Somebody else did that. We did this. And God is like, I'm trying to push you. I'm trying to get you there. And all you do is sit there and argue. We tried tithing. We've done this before. I used to serve. I did all that. I ain't doing that. Let's go out real quick. Let's keep it moving. And all you're doing is hindering what God is trying to bring you into. And one of the greatest enemies is the enemy. Since he can't get to your spirit, he tries to get in your mind, and he tries to pull on your memory. He tries to remind you. Remember that other pastor? Remember the one that was on the news? Every time something comes up, your memory jumps back in place. And you miss what God has for you. And church, if you don't check your mind, you're going to miss everything for 2020. These are things that happen right here in church. Let me get this last one. We got to go. I'm behind. I was trying to teach all these, but I got happy. Watch this right here. Last thing I can give you. I won't even get to point 4 and 5. I'll preach those next week. Watch this. The other thing it says is, watch this. Let me show you. It says high thing. Casting down argument. Watch this. And every high thing. Watch what it says. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is our warfare. There's no devil even in here yet. It's right here. He says that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Because the only place the devil can try to attack you is in your knowledge of God. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you don't have knowledge of God, you lose out on every blessing.